This scripture reading and the following address are part of the YouTube streamed worship service from St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on June 2nd, 2024. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 2. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at the hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Today we're beginning a short sermon series on spiritual warfare, or spiritual attack, sometimes people talk of. And my sermon text today is from John's Gospel, John chapter 12, from verse 27, which I'll now read, where Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. Let's pray. And this morning I'm going to invite you, if you can read those words up on the screen, to pray with me Luther's morning prayer. And you might know them yourselves anyway, if you can't quite read, and you're most welcome to join in. Let's pray. I thank you, Heavenly Father, through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, that you have protected me through the night from all harm and danger. I ask you to keep me this day too from all sin and evil, so that in my thoughts, words and deeds I may please you. Into your hands I place my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angel be with me, so that the evil one may have no power over me. Amen. Into your hands. Jesus' outstretched hands, into your hands, Father, I place my body and my soul. Luther's morning prayer. Send your holy angel to watch over me so that the evil one may have no power over me. Maybe you know those words. Martin Luther knew, I think, the spiritual realities of spiritual warfare and attack. And he, for everyday life, gave us something wonderful, I think, in his morning and evening prayers. I don't know, are you familiar with those prayers? Some people. May I encourage you, if you're not familiar with them, you'll find them in little books like Luther's Small Catechism, which I thank God for the gift of. As a kid growing up, in our hymnal, and what a wonderful resource our hymnal is, not only with song, and it is with that, and our song books, I should say, not just the hymns, but also in here then the service orders that have various prayers, and we pray Luther's prayer in some of those service orders, whether the morning or the evening one. I'm thankful for this prayer. It's one that I pray because I can pray for God's presence and protection. Luther, I reckon, more than anyone else would refer us from the outset of any discussion around the spiritual aspects of life, spiritual attack, to go first of all to the end of the story. That is that place where Jesus stretches out his arms for his people, the place of the cross, the place of the resurrection. For this is the place that Jesus has once and for all won the spiritual battle. Jesus has overcome the powers, the spiritual powers of sin, of death, and of the evil one through the giving of his life on the cross and being raised to new life and bringing those gifts for his people. He promises those things to you and I who simply put our trust in him, that we too will surely live the victory with him. Amen. This is your reality, our reality. Thanks be to God. End of sermon. Sit down. It could be, couldn't it? And that would be, Pastor, you should sit down a little earlier, most often, you're probably thinking. I don't enter this space of spiritual attack or spiritual warfare lightly, and I certainly don't pretend to be some sort of expert. I'm a pastor, yes, and I'm a Christian on a journey just like you. I'm very thankful for a particular book that I have also in my keeping. It looks like this. It's called Rites and Resources for Pastoral Care. And it's got a symbol there that is the symbol of the Lutheran Church of Australia and New Zealand. And for people like Sue and I and people who are in the pastoral care space, our volunteer pastoral carers, we have access to this little book. And I find it very, very helpful. It helps us in our pastoral caring. In it is a rite on pastorally caring for someone who's facing some spiritual difficulties, spiritual attack, spiritual oppression is the wording is used in this particular rite. And it starts at the right place as we come to this rite in the book, because it has some words of introduction. And the words of introduction take us, I reckon, to the place that Luther would take us. The place of the sure outcome. In it says in the introduction, the Son of God became a human being in order to destroy the works of the devil. Quite strong language, isn't it? And refers us to 1 John there. And to deliver people from bondage to him. So that's the strong language that's used. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say, Christians have been set free from the power of the devil, how? Through Christ's death and resurrection. This is your story. This is mine. This is our shared story, is it not? God's reality for us. And the rite then says, on this basis, at the same time, Satan continues to accuse and torment the faithful through guilt, fear, resentment, hatred and the like. So you might fill in some of those things. Above all, this rite takes me always to the place of God's word and God's sure promises. Sure promises in Christ to the means of grace, to the place where we gather now here today. Let's go on the journey then. As we join Jesus in John chapter 12, he says, "Now my soul, Jesus says, is troubled." Jesus takes us into the depths of his spiritual being. Do you know that feeling sometimes? Now my soul feels troubled. I'm not sure what sorts of things might bring you to that, but I've just listed a few things that came to my mind. Maybe they're good examples, maybe they're not. And I'm simply going to go through them and invite your thoughts. There is the spiritual element of life's struggles. You know, sometimes feeling not good enough, not worthy. I can't get out of this place of sickness. There is this terrible disagreement that's pulling me down. A relationship has caved in. I have my struggles with my faith. And the language that I sometimes use for whatever we face, I simply talk about going through the long night. And sometimes it's in the night that I feel these things the most. Secondly, we might face some struggles and some difficulties before we enter into a place where the Holy Spirit is taking us afresh. Maybe a new missional undertaking, maybe a witness event, carrying out God's commission to love wherever we go and wherever God takes us. And I think we experienced something of this as we were preparing to make our journey to Indonesia, the team that went there. Thirdly, it can involve a whole community. Our church is leading up to a convention in about 4 months' time where we have people that hold different and strongly held views, and that's good, right and proper that this occurs. It's how we sometimes play that out though, isn't it? That it boils over into a place of anger, and we know this in some of our relationships, and anger can take us into all sorts of unhelpful, bad spiritual places. I'm reminded that Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 4, don't let the sun go down on your anger, because if you do, if you let it boil and boil and boil, the devil will get a foothold. The devil will get a foothold. There's the spiritual aspect of my physical anger sometimes. Sometimes this comes out in more subtle ways, in simply the busyness of life which takes me away from my relationship with God. Sometimes I can feel spiritually smug and superior to someone else. Sometimes I might be on the end of that from them. It might be, and I related to this, and thanks to Hannah too for reminding me of the Screwtape letters. And it's such a good read. This one belongs to Peter at the back there somewhere, and he bought it for 2 and 6 pence, or someone did. It's an old story, but it's a good one. It's a reminder to take me back into an important place when I spiritually get lazy, you know, and I do. Sometimes, in whatever way it might be, it's that long, dark night of pain. Maybe you know that, whether it's a physical situation, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Am I anywhere near the mark? What else might you add to that list from your life? A few weeks ago on Ascension Day, we heard Jesus promise power from on high, when the Holy Spirit would be given to the disciples and to the church, which the Spirit forms. We briefly reflected that we are all spiritual beings as much as we are rational, physical beings as well. God's word speaks of these realities in various ways. One way is in Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll spend a little bit of time in Ephesians chapter 6 in coming weeks, where Paul writes our struggle, there is a bit of a battle, isn't there? Our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness. Strong words Paul uses, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Here is the spiritual reality of life in terms of the battle. Paul also takes us to the place that reminds us that we have minds that work in the world. In Philippians chapter 2, is one of my favourite places, Paul refers to us sharing the same mind, having the mind of Christ nonetheless. Philippians 2:1-5 and 2:1-11 we could pick up on there as well. And then also during the Easter season, the season of victory, if you will, every season is, every Sunday is that, but particularly during the Easter season, we heard in 1 John, 1 John chapter 5, these words that, "For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world." And listen in again, if you happen to remember, this is what conquers the world: our faith. Who is it who conquers the world but the ones who believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Those who confess Christ as Lord conquer the world, not through some sort of human power, not through some sort of mighty physical army, but spiritually we overcome the ruler of the world, who Christ refers to, the false ruler of the world, Satan. How? Through Christ himself. We overcome by receiving the gift of faith from the Spirit, who works in our hearts through the Word, and as we confess and live that faith out. This is the spiritual reality, that we take the love that we receive out into the world, God's love for the world, and that's what Satan wants to fight against. God's love shining through the darkness of sin, of death, and of the evil one to bring the light of life. This wonderful little book, in a very simple way, suggests that we put this into perspective when addressing matters of spiritual oppression. It says, and I think this is good encouragement for all pastors, and I'd add all Christians, should take care to avoid a credulous obsession, that is, I accept anything and everything, with spirits or a scepticism about them, to avoid either labelling all psychic phenomena as demonic or accepting everything spiritual as a gift from the Holy Spirit. It seems like pretty good encouragement for us. It goes on to say, it is recommended that a pastor or any Christian might seek the counsel of other pastors or other Christians in such matters. That is very good advice. The spiritual victory, I'll repeat it again, is won already by Christ for me and for you, for us together in community as church. And I thank God for the gift of you and your faith. I really do. And for the relationships that we form in the church. Because it's here that we work together as people of victory, as people of love, as family of faith. And we fight the battle guided and protected by the Spirit in the words and in the Word of God and the sacraments, which bring us again to Jesus this day. Over these next few weeks, I'm going to spend a bit of time with you as community, as family of faith, as we address this question. So what does God say? Today we're going to reflect that we live in the light, we're living in the light, and we are beggars, it is true. Next week we're going to pick up on the already but not yet of victory over Satan as we live our life on this earth. And then in a few weeks' time, we're going to come to God's defence place for us, God's armour, our sure defence. So today, living in the light, Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." The sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross drives out the ruler, the self-proclaimed false ruler of the world. And Jesus draws us all to this place, the place of his victory through his death and resurrection. Jesus, although he himself as a true human is troubled in his soul, he goes to that place of the cross for us. The sign of the cross. What another wonderful gift that is, I might suggest, in our worship service. And what a joy it is for me to be able to stand here and say some words and see many people making the sign of the cross over yourselves. We don't need to do this, but it's a beautiful sign of God with us, God's victory for us. Luther, again in the Small Catechism, encourages us to start the day that way. Make the sign of the cross over you. Take note of when the sign of the cross is made in our worship. And I don't know about you, but I find so comforting, so important, being able at times to hold on to that cross in my hands. The victory is won, but we can still face spiritual attack. We're not spiritually bulletproof from attacks from Satan, from the world, and from our own sinful selves. That's why the call of Luther in the Small Catechism is for us as Christians in the home and in community life together to be built up, just like we're going to build next door on a place of strong foundation. Luther would say to us, wherever you go in your everyday life, build on the foundations, the firm foundations that God gives us. That is the means of grace. My presence for you in word and in sacrament, right here in worship and then as we take it out into the world. God for us, especially in the place of spiritual attack. Just very recently, a dear Christian friend told me of his story of a long night of pain, physical pain. He was in hospital having suffered very painful injuries. I was speaking to him a day after he'd been through some really difficult times at night. He said his pain was excruciating. It wouldn't go away. He was on his own. He, I think, knew the spiritual attack which accompanied physical pain, and yet he said that he came to an amazing place on that night. Later he could recognise it as a place of light and peace, despite the immense pain he was suffering. He came to the place of saying, God, I'm ready. God, I'm totally in your hands, your outstretched hands. Luther prayed that, didn't he? Into your hands I place my body and my soul. He said to God, if you will, you can take me home. In that dark place, and he's still around to tell the story, I'm very thankful to say, he found that his faith and trust in the promise of the one who had won the victory for him took him to such a deep place as he had never been before. He was in that dark place in total trust in the loving hands of Jesus. They say that the light shines brightest in the darkest place. That's the Easter morning story for us all. As Martin Luther came to the end of his life, he said the words somewhere along the way, we are beggars, it is true. We are beggars, it is true. Luther came to find that it's by relinquishing our own claims of power, which after all is the original sin, and trusting wholly and solely in God, that we might come to know most fully and share most fully in the victory and make a difference by shining our light too in the world. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And Jesus invites us, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw you and all people to myself. May it be so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Into your hands I place my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angel be with me, so that the evil one may have no power over me.